Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes a verse from a psalm is more than just a verse from a psalm. It actually breaks open and buds and blossoms and bears fruit for the world. In the 12th century in England at St. Albans, they were putting together a psalter. And they had tasked some minor artists with minor work. They weren't asked to illuminate the 40 full page illustrations of the life of Christ that preceded the Psalter. And they weren't asked to illuminate the full page illustration of David the musician or St. Albans' martyrdom that concluded the Psalter. All they were asked to do was to make an illuminated initial for the first verse of each psalm. Considering the greatness of this work, a very, very minor task. But in that lesser task, we can see a greater glory. Because what these artists did was they took a verse from each psalm and they meditated on it until it broke open and it budded and blossomed and produced the world they painted inside that initial. So, for example, in Psalm 8, the artist chose the phrase, out of the mouths of babes, and meditated on it. And there in the margin, you see this small green vine that weaves its way upon the page, and it has these buds, red and blue, and then you get to the letter and it blossoms. And the artist has taken that blossom and turned it to face the world so you can look inside the petals. And what you see is this deep sapphire blue sky with pinpricks of light. And underneath that sky are women with infants. Some are nursing, some are simply sitting on their laps, but all of the infants have their little hands raised in praise. So when you open up that psalter and look at the margin of the page, you're invited to see a world where even infants give God praise. Sometimes a verse from a psalm is more than a verse from a psalm. It breaks open and changes your world. I tell you that because that's what the Apostle Paul is doing in our reading this morning. This is the first chapter of the Ephesians. The Apostle Paul is discovered in prayer. He's praying for the church at Ephesus. He's thinking about the people he knows. He's praying that God would enlighten the eyes of their hearts. And as he prays, he latches on to the small verse of a psalm, and it breaks open and it bears fruit in a way that changes how you live in God's world. And so I'd like to take some time to meditate on what Paul is doing. Now, the verse that Paul chooses is not a verse that we're entirely comfortable with today. It's the verse that reads, "He placed all things under his feet." It's from Psalm 8. And in Psalm 8, the psalmist is talking about how God, he, placed all things, creation, under his, Adam's, feet. The psalmist writes that he has given him dominion over all things. That is, he's made him Lord of all creation and placed all things under his feet. And if you want to limit what you get, the psalmist won't let you. He begins to expand what God has placed under his feet. All oxen and all beasts and all cattle, all beasts of the field, all birds of the air, all fish of the sea, everything that swims in the paths of the sea. The psalmist is absolutely amazed at what God has done. The psalmist sees the intricacy and beauty of creation and sees how small the human creature is, but then stands back in amazement that God has placed all things under the feet of this creature. Now, the psalmist is amazed at what God has done, but when people use that phrase today, they're amazed at what we can do. They talk about how God has placed all things under our feet, and they celebrate what we can do in this world. Last year, I was having dinner with a friend of mine in his backyard on the porch. He had grilled some steaks, and we were sitting there eating. I had eaten some of my steak, and it was delicious until he started talking. He took a bite, and he said, this meat doesn't have any flavor. He says, it's tasteless. He says to his wife, he says, did you freeze this? She's like, no. She said, I went to Schnucks. I went to the meat counter. I got it today. It's fresh. He says, well, it doesn't have any taste. He pushed the plate away, and he took a drink of his beer, and he looked out over the backyard, and he smiled, and he said, you know what? He said, someday we're going to perfect the art of cloning. He said, and you're going to be able to walk into Schnucks, and you're going to go to the meat counter, and behind the meat counter, you will see live cattle. And you'll tell the butcher what you want. He'll go over, he'll slice off a piece of meat and give it to you. And the cattle will continue living because they've cloned it, and it'll just come back. Well, my meat didn't taste so good anymore, right? Now, lest you think I just hang around with bizarre people, this has been around for quite some time. In 1624, Francis Bacon is imagining what the world will look like because humankind have been given dominion over all things. And he writes his imaginings in a book called The New Atlantis. And he sees a world where we dig mines 3 miles deep into the earth and we preserve bodies with natural refrigeration. We build towers on mountains 1/2 mile tall so that we can learn to govern the winds. We create lakes where we learn how to make and control storms. We have orchards where we cause trees to bear fruit out of season. And the fruit that they bear is more succulent and sweet. And he pictures a place where we cage these animals and we dissect them to figure out what organs they need to live and what ones they don't. We administer drugs so that some are more fertile and others are barren, and we mix the animals and create new kinds. Francis Bacon's dream in 1624 has become our nightmare in 2013. When we see how people work with creation and say, well, God's placed all things under our feet. When you hear that verse from the Psalm, you just want to put it back in the Psalter and leave it alone. But the Apostle Paul this morning takes it, and he doesn't use it in power. No, he gives it to God in prayer. And when you do that, that verse breaks open and it buds and it blossoms in a way that will change your world. Listen to the Apostle Paul. What is he praying about? He is speaking not of Adam, but of Christ, the second Adam. Yes, God placed all things under the feet of the first Adam. He fell into sin and brought a curse upon all of creation. But the second Adam, the second Adam has all things under his feet and is bringing the blessing of God upon a new creation. Adam fell in the first creation, brought the curse of God upon all things. And we suffer from that curse in our working with our power. But Christ has come and borne the punishment of God's wrath for all sin, died under it, and then broke out of the earth, budded and blossomed as a new creation. And now God has set him above all things and placed all things under his feet. And as the apostle says, he gives him as Lord of all to you, his church. Paul wants you to see your Savior anew. We're accustomed to seeing Jesus as Lord of our lives, right? We confess our sins and we receive in him forgiveness. We're accustomed to seeing Jesus as Lord of our church. We gather together and find him here in word and sacraments and rejoice in that gracious care. But Paul wants you to see Jesus as more than Lord of your life, more than Lord of your church. He wants you to see Jesus as Lord of all. And that changes your life. Discipleship isn't just about confessing your sin and being forgiven. It's not just about coming to church on Sunday and doing what you want during the week. Discipleship involves how you live in the world as a creature of this one who is Lord of all. And what does that look like? Well, I'd say it's probably like the work of those minor artists. Nothing momentous. You meditate on a word and you see what your hand will do. You're not going to solve all ecological disasters tomorrow, but you may have an eye that awakens in the morning and sees a plant that needs watering. You may have an ear that in the evening delights in the song of a whippoorwill. And during the day, you may have a hand that touches the earth, causing it to bud and to blossom and to flourish. Because you care for creation as God has cared for you. Intimately, compassionately, and with a love that brings about something that is good, beautiful, and true. And when you do that, your life is like a little vine on the margin of this epistle from Paul. And you blossom, and you turn that blossom toward the world, and they see how Christ rules over all things through you, not with a prideful claim to power. It could never be that. After all, we live in a world where even infants are giving God praise. Amen.